You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Vox and Hops Brutal North America is presented by Indie Merch Store.
You can't really make it when you live in Iceland, you know, and just you have your own band and that's the only thing you do. It just kind of doesn't work out if you're, you know, if you're not touring and all that kind of stuff. So, and that wasn't really a possibility for most Icelandic bands. People weren't really thinking about, you know, because you couldn't make it here, people aren't like really trying to follow a fad or something that's in, you know. They just want to make music that kind of satisfies themselves, you know. So we just, you know, we just kind of play what we want to hear, you know, the music that we want to hear. And, you know, I think that's one of the things why, you know, why it is kind of like that. And it's so versatile also. There's so many different kind of music and a lot of weird music as well, you know. So, you know, it's interesting.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hops heads? I'm Matt, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, brought to you by Sound Talent Media, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians to talk about their lives, music, and craft beer. I hope you've been having a glorious week. I most certainly have been, because it is Brutal North America time, people. That's right. Brutal North America is presented by Indie Merch Store, is fueled by Heartbeat Hot Sauce Company, and is powered by Yakima Chief Hops. 22 brand new Vox and Hops collabs have dropped throughout the past week. I have paired 22 Vox and Hops alumni with metal breweries from across the United States and Canada, and we have made glorious, unique beers together. That's right, 22 brand new beers hit the market this week, and I'm so damn excited about it. I hope that you have had the chance to get out there and to hunt and to try to get your hands on some of these collabs. To name a few of the pairings from Canada, we got Third Moon Brewing with Brand of Sacrifice. We got La Patiquaire and Augury. Microbrasserie Le Fermentau with The Agonist. And from the United States, we got Brutal Beerworks with Abigail Williams. Dry City Brewworks with Yakuza. We got a three-way collab with Gilded Skull Brewing, Widowmaker, and Summoner. We got Lasting Brass Brewing Company with Shadow of Intent. And we got Wake Brewing with the Atlas Moth. I'm just so damn excited that all of these amazing humans have been working together to spread the motto of Vox and Hops: enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Tomorrow night at 9 p.m., there is a huge virtual rap party going on. It's happening on Zoom. If you join the Vox and Hops Thirsty Thursday gang or the Vox and Hops Discord, the link will be there for that. I have invited all of the breweries, all of the bands, to come and hang out with me and enjoy one of our collabs together with all of you. So join us. Join the Brutal North America virtual rap party, which is happening tomorrow, June 26th at 9 p.m. EDT. It's going to be a blast. Now, before we jump into today's episode, I would just like to ask you to follow the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast on the podcast platform of your choice. But more than that, I'm also asking you to rate it and write a review. Now, why? Why do I want you to rate it and write a review? Because when someone's looking for a new podcast to listen to, what do? They scroll down, they check out the reviews. If the reviews are all great and say that the podcast rocks, they're probably going to give that podcast a chance. So if you were to write a review for the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, you could actually be the person that sways someone into becoming a brand new Vox and Hops head. And that would be something that I would truly appreciate. Now, on today's episode with Oscar Loye of the Vintage Caravan, get ready, everyone. This is Vox and Hops episode number 276.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Today I'm with Oscar Loye of The Vintage Caravan. I am very, very stoked to be with you. Let's start with a simple yet complex question that I like to kick things off with. How did you cope with the glorious year that is now behind us of 2020?
Ooh, Lord. I just did what I could. I got a dog, which is behind the camera right now, border collie, and so that kept me kind of occupied, and I was doing quite a bit of running and drinking beer in the evening. So yeah, that's basically kind of how I got through it.
You were fighting the hops, which is something I do daily. You got to exercise if you're going to drink as much beer as we do.
Of course. Yeah. You have to kind of keep it off. It's finding a good balance there in between. I woke up this morning and I was like, shouldn't have done what I did yesterday. And so I went out running and now I feel like a new man. Yeah.
Good for you. I love that. Let's talk about beer. Let's talk about your very, very first beer. Do you remember the very first beer that you had, Oscar?
Yes, I do. It was it's called Polar Beer, which is it's kind of a weird story behind that beer, because Icelandic beer in Iceland was like prohibited until like 1989. So there was like no beer over here. But the weird thing about this beer, they started making it in like 1942 or something for the soldiers.
Really?
Yeah. So they were making beer here, but they couldn't sell it here. So it's just for the American soldiers. It's kind of weird. So yeah. So it was just for the soldiers here and like people that were like pilots and that kind of stuff. So that was the only places where you could get that beer. But since I am since I drank the first time, I think I was 16 or something, and it was a polar beer. It's kind of a shit beer, to be honest, but, you know, you have to start somewhere.
That's very interesting. So Iceland was making beer in Iceland, even though it was illegal for international people that were coming through Iceland.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this caused a lot of confusion I heard stories that when Led Zeppelin came here in 1970, John Bonham was very, very pissed off that there wasn't like a proper beer here. It was like, what the fuck is this shit? They had like, I think they sold like an Ales Pilsner, that's what they called it, but it was like 0. Something, you know, and he was just like, trash, you know. But, you know, so I think like partying in Iceland back in the day was probably way more just out of this world intoxicated, I think, than it is now, you know, even though it's pretty crazy right now, but I think people were just drinking a lot of hard liquor and just getting fucked up. Icelandic style.
Vox and Hops is all about hanging out with my metal friends, talking about their lives, music, and craft beer. Speaking about beer, what beer do you have on your side that we're going to share virtually today?
So I have this one. It's called Bjór með Búblum. It's a pretty new beer. It's from Gæðingur, which is a brewery that's literally just down the street from where I live.
I love that.
Yeah, so it's a brewery and a bar. So it's pretty awesome. And this is a, like a really, really fresh beer. It's a very basic lager, basically. It says Venjulegur lager, which just means ordinary lager.
So it's going to be light, crispy, crushable.
Definitely, yeah. And it's like super fresh. I saw them like make these cans yesterday. So I went over and got a few of them. So that's pretty nice. I think I'll go ahead.
Led to your run this morning.
Yeah, exactly.
On my side, I'm going to be drinking Lagavulin. This is their experimental series. They are a very well-established brewery here in Quebec, where I'm from, Montreal, Quebec. They are just on the south shore in Saint-Jean-sur-Richelieu. This is their collab with Wild Shack, who are a nomad brewery. They are wild. They are crazy. They do out-of-the-box things. It's two dudes that just collaborate with a bunch of breweries making crazy brews. This one is a Grisette, which has been fermented. It's a mixed fermentation that has been aged for a year in oak and conditioned for 3 months on boysenberry, 6.1% ABV. I love Lagavulin. I love this experimental series. Just, I'm showing you nothing. Hold on, I'm showing you nothing. There you go. Yeah, I'm going to crack this.
Is it a local beer for you, or is it...
It is a local beer, but local beer is a big thing here in Quebec. So,
yeah,
so
of course.
Local meaning it's from Quebec, but I can't walk there.
No. Yeah.
But it's a killer brew, that's for sure. Killer brewery. I haven't had this one before. Ooh, it pours out with a gorgeous red hue. Super gorgeous.
Look at
this. Just ooh, mad.
Nice.
The boysenberries. Yeah, just killer, foamy, gorgeous pink head. That looks beautiful too for a lager. It's like it's an unfiltered hazy. Oh no, it's a little more clear than I thought it would. Cheers.
Yeah, cheers, man.
Ooh, smells. It's got that Lagavulin nose.
Mm. So it's actually funny. I went to like a a focus meeting or like focus group kind of thing, whatever you call it, for this beer actually. So they brewed it, and then they were like, I was in a group of 10 people that I just said what I kind of felt could maybe go better and that kind of stuff, and they actually, yeah. So I think this is the new batch, and it's really, really nice.
That's so cool. I had so much fun when I played in Reykjavik. Cryptopsy went to Iceland in 2017, 2018, I think it was. It was at Reykjavik Metal Fest.
Exactly,
we
yeah.
We played the Gokarin.
Yeah.
And they brought us in for 5 days to hang out in Iceland.
Nice.
And we were like, we're going to go sightseeing. We're going to see so much cool shit.
Yeah.
And every day, I just woke up and I went, let's go to the micro bar.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Awesome.
We spent our whole time in Reykjavik, me, Chris, and Ollie,
yeah,
at the micro bar, and I'm not joking.
Wow. That's awesome.
And then we realized how much we were spending on beer because it's very expensive.
Jesus,
in Reykjavik.
Oh yeah.
It was like $18 a pint Canadian.
Yeah. I know. It's interesting life to be. Yeah, it's expensive to like beer here for sure. Yeah, especially when it comes to nice beers, it's like, whew, really, really expensive. But I mean, you know, but there's a lot of really interesting like breweries and stuff that, you know, Reykjavik Brewing is one that's really good, and they do like crazy stuff. They made a Christmas beer and just put a whole Christmas tree into the
love it.
Yeah, something like that. So that's amazing.
Super piney.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
sprucey.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I tasted it. It was amazing, actually. Really nice.
Very cool. Let's talk about craft beer. Let's talk about when you realized that beer could be more from that polar beer, that first beer that you had, until you experienced something that beer could be more than just something that gets you drunk at 16.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it was it was kind of like hearing a fairy tale kind of thing about Belgian beer and people like kind of hyping it up a lot. So I was like really, really, really curious about that. And that's kind of, you know, I think the craft bar like movement also began kind of at the same time when I here in Iceland. So it was like around maybe 2000, maybe around 2014, something like that, when a lot of these bars started coming up and people started to make really interesting beer. And so I think it was around that time. And I got into like Triple Carmeliet, the Belgian beer. I thought that was one of the like some amazing beer. Haven't had it in a while actually, but yeah, it's amazing beer. And you know, all those basic Belgian beers like Le Chouf and you know those more common ones like Leffe and that kind of stuff, just amazing. So that's kind of how I got into it. And then, you know, and I go through a lot of different kind of phases. You know, if I'm drinking a lot of like sour beers, and you know, comes and goes. But for now, I've been basically just doing like pale ales and some like really hoppy like lagers, and so that's kind of where I'm at right now, I guess. So this one
Ultra
pretty,
Crushers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, what about you? When did you get into like the pervertism of beer?
Oh, it's been an evolution of my life. It's since 2013, really, since I moved into this condo, actually. And there's a few pinnacle beers. Facebook likes to remind you of your memories, right?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Last year at this point, I was doing the 10 beers that led me towards craft beer. And I started with shitty beer, just like everyone. And then I built up to, there's this brewery here in Quebec called Le Castel, and they put out a Yakima IPA, which is really a West Coast IPA.
Okay.
That was one of the ones that really got me. I was trying to be healthier, and at the grocery store, it has a vast distribution, which is really cool for Le Castel, considering its quality of beer. And it says that it's biologic, you know, like it's a biological, all bio ingredients. And I was trying to be healthy at the point. So this was like, I'm going to try this beer. It was amazing, and you know, my palate has shifted since then away from the bitter West Coast style towards more of the hazies. But that was a pinnacle beer. And then there's Zudziel, which is a huge, massive brewery from here in Quebec that has been around since 1998. That also really shifted me towards craft beer. For sure, for sure. You guys also have a McKellar bar. We went there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a good one. When Mastodon came here to play in 2016, they were Brandon Taylor, the drummer, he was hanging out there quite a bit. So it's a good one for sure. I haven't been there in a while, actually.
We had fun.
Yeah, definitely.
It's overlooking that famous statue that's overlooking the opera house, right?
Exactly. At the Arnahuk. It's a lovely place, you know. And they actually sell a lot of, like, on the lower floor they have like amazing pizza, some of the best pizza in Reykjavik. So it's quite good. Actually, they put apples on their pizzas, which is something I was like, all right, you know, but it makes sense somehow.
I'll try it. Let's talk about the soundtrack of your youth. When you were growing up in your parents' or guardians' house, what music was playing when you were not in control of the music? What music did your parents or guardians listen to?
So I come from a very musical house, actually, like a musical family. My dad used to sing in like choirs and that kind of stuff. So I even went touring with him to Italy and Austria when I was like 9 years old or something. So I had a little bit of experience about, you know, being in a bus with a lot of smelly people, you know. So it was a good head start.
I'm sure they were more calm than we are.
But. Oh yeah, for sure, definitely. Yeah. But I remember. There was a lot of like Eric Clapton being played around the house. So a lot of the '80s Eric Clapton stuff, you know. And Mike Oldfield, Tubular Bells, and a lot of his 80s stuff as well. So there was a lot of different kind of stuff. And my dad is born in 55 and my mom 57. So, you know, there's a healthy dose of The Shadows, you know, with Hank Marvin on guitar and all that kind of stuff, which I was really into. But then I think everything kind of changed when I saw School of Rock with Jack Black.
Really?
Yeah, man.
I love that movie.
It's so good. I love it. Yeah, so I saw that film and I was like, hey, these kids can do it. I'm a kid. I could do this as well, you know. So it kind of went into there, and then I started digging around, you know, by myself, you know, finding, you know, bands like Rush and that kind of stuff, where I got really, really into that. Yeah.
Canadian pride.
Yeah.
Love School of Rock. That resonates. I watched that a whole bunch when that came out. There's just something about Jack Black that just makes everyone happy and warm and fuzzy. I've never seen Tenacious D, honestly.
Yeah, life or just, yeah. Yeah, same here. I'd love to.
Yeah. How about your first live music experience? Do you remember the first show that you went to go see? Was it your dad singing? What was it?
There was probably a lot of those kind of shows, but the first like proper show that I went to see was in 2004, so I'm born in 94, so yeah, I was 9 years old, and I saw Deep Purple playing in Laugardalshöll here in Reykjavik, and it was just, I was so excited, and I was just like, you know, I had been listening to like their greatest hits albums just on repeat for like 2 months, just like, couldn't wait, and then day of the show, I was so excited that I didn't really eat anything. So I ate a little bit of chocolate cake, I remember. Well, that was it, you know. And then I was like, you know, it was like an hour into their show, and then they were like, all right, we're going to play a lot of our greatest hits right now or something like that. And I was like, yeah. And I just passed out. And my dad was like,
really?
Fuck. Yeah, and he like ran to like the paramedics thing, like, got some, you know, nuts and some Coca-Cola or something. And I woke up and, like, the nurse or, like, the paramedic was, like, hitting on my dad. He was like, oh, do you live with his mother or do you guys live alone? And I was just like, wow, waking up to this nightmare. What the hell is going on?
He was smoking the water playing in the background.
Exactly, yeah. I remember I kind of woke up and we got in and they were kind of finishing Black Knight. And then then the show was over and I was like, God damn it. But, you know. That was my first experience. And then I saw Robert Plant, I think, a few months later. So that was fantastic. It was his first time back since Led Zeppelin came in 1970. Which is like a show that like changed a lot of things here in Iceland, you know. You know, it was they were called Beatleband, so a Beatle band, you know. And, you know, Led Zeppelin, the Beatle band, you know. Strange. And yeah, exactly. You know, so, you know, they were the first Beatle band to come here since the Kinks in 1965. So it was those two shows did a lot for like Icelandic musicians and like just kind of showed people here what you could do, you know. So it was a really important show for Icelandic music history, basically.
Absolutely. And Iceland has such a rich musical heritage, especially since the 90s onwards. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously there's the Bjorks, the Sigur Rosses, the Ólafur Arnalds. Love what he does. I had a chat with Addy from Solstafir.
Oh yeah, cool.
And he spoke about the Icelandic scene, why it is so rich and vast. What is your take on the Icelandic scene? Why does Iceland have such a rich scene? I hate getting this question about Montreal, but I'm going to throw it at you.
Yeah, I mean, it is an interesting question because, you know, the way I've always kind of seen it is, you know, you can't really make it when you live in Iceland, you know, and just you have your own band and that's the only thing you do. It just kind of doesn't work out if you're, you know, if you're not touring and all that kind of stuff. So, and that wasn't really a possibility for most Icelandic bands. People weren't really thinking about, you know, because you couldn't make it here, people aren't like really trying to follow a fad or something that's in, you know, they just want to make music that kind of satisfies themselves, you know. So there was like no, like a old school inspired band, you know, really, when I started playing, you know, it wasn't like in Iceland, but we just, you know, we just kind of play what we want to hear, you know, the music that we want to hear. And, you know, I think that's one of the things why, you know, why it is kind of like that. And it's so versatile also. There's so many different kind of music and a lot of weird music as well, you know. So, it's interesting. And then it's also, I guess, that, you know, the winters here are so extremely dark and just fucking depressing, I guess. So, you know, and you have to have some sort of release, you know, and just keep occupied. You know, the shortest days here are like, you know, there's sunlight for like 3.5 hours, 4 hours or something.
Jesus, yeah.
Just barely comes up and then it's done, you know, it's dark again. Especially when you're working.
It must be tough.
Yeah, when you're working and you go to work in darkness and you leave, you come back home in darkness and it's just like, time just read.
Another sick Icelandic band that just dropped an album that I really like is a Cult of Lilith.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent extreme metal band. Yeah, really, sure. Really enjoy that as well.
Yeah, the bassist was almost in our band. You know, he was.
No.
He was going to audition. Yeah, but he didn't make it on time, and we were like, yeah, didn't work out.
So you guys left Iceland for two years. Was that really, as you were mentioning, that if you want to make it and being from Iceland, you feel you have to leave because it's hard to make it? And to, I can see it. I see a bit of a correlation being from Canada. You can tour Canada, but it's hard and it's long and the drives are long. But there's markets that you can hit that can be a sustainable future, a sustainable career. Whereas in Iceland, you guys can hit a few cities, basically. And every city is very spread out, long drives. So if you want to make it, you got to sort of leave, which is why you guys went to Denmark, I can imagine. And then you guys could tour and not have to pay for flights every time.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, it was in 2013. We got a deal with Nuclear Blast. So, we were like, 19 or something, you know, and it was just like a really, really, exciting time. And we were thinking, you know, because, you know, we were getting all of this interest from like promoters and, you know, about shows and everything.
Festivals.
And then we were just like, but you know, financially this, we couldn't do like half of the shows, you know, or even one third of the shows, because you know, it's just so expensive to fly from here, especially, you know. So we kind of started thinking, okay, what can we do? And I mentioned that I have a sister that lives in Sønderborg in Denmark. So I was like called her and I was like, hey, like, do you mind if bunch of hairy, sweaty dudes come and live in your house for a while? And he was like, ah, sure. So we were on the lower floor. I always imagine like this could be such a good
movie.
Yeah, like a movie or like just like these like a really cheesy like TV show, like a comic thing, you know. A rock and roll band moves in with a little family, you know. And you know, laugh tracks and everything, you know. And so I think it's a good pitch, you know. We could maybe pitch it together or something. I don't know. But anyway.
Yes. I'm in.
Yeah.
Can they drink beer?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Talking about
if
beer.
If they drink beer, I'm in.
Yeah, exactly. Talking about beer, we lived like... At it's basically at the German border, so the border shops were just like 30 minutes away. So 19 and loving beer, it was just like we had like, you know, there was like these offers that was big cases of Carlsberg or something. Yeah, you buy two and you get one free. So we just had like stacks of them, you know. I remember, you know, we went through a lot of
Your sister's like, what's happening? I thought you said you were going to be playing shows.
Yeah.
You're just drinking beer.
Yeah. She said something I spoke to her the other day. She was like, we were just kind of reminiscing about those times. And she was like, yeah, at first I was like, oh, yeah, they're just celebrating that they're not like moved out.
No, they're alcoholics.
And then it's like, no, yeah. And then it's like, it's been 4 months, you dudes, you know, like, slow down, you know. I think she was kind of worried, but, you know, it was all good.
Now you're back in Iceland. Explain the transition back to me. I'm curious.
Basically, you know, what happened during that time was like, we just said to our booker, book as many shows as possible. We went with a ferry, with our van, and we just drove all around Europe for, you know, basically 2 years, you know, and wow. Did like so and for like 3 years it was basically like 100 shows per year, so it was quite busy and
sick.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, and I kind of burned out at one point, you know, I think on the second year, because we also went through like a lineup change and we were like,
wow,
yeah. So it was like getting a new drummer who, by the way, loves your band so much. He
oh,
he's
cool.
He does a lot of like covers and that kind of stuff. So he's done quite a bit of your songs. So that's really cool.
Very cool.
Yeah. So, but yeah, he comes in, and then we were like, you know, fucking playing so much. And we also had to like play a new album, learn a new album that was, you know, it's like a prog masterpiece that was released in Iceland in 1971. We were going to do like a special show with an original member from that band during that summer. So it was like getting a new member, teaching him everything like of our set, learning a new, very intricate prog album, and playing 100 shows. So it was just
and
like,
life pressures, and being like 19, 20 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, yeah. It was,
you know, when the human brain
exactly yeah.
is not fully developed until later in life. So,
no,
so
definitely. And
I'm very lucky that I started touring around 25. So
even then,
I felt I was immature. Looking back now, I feel like I was immature and handled situations not as well as I could have. I can only imagine being 19, 20
and
having the world at your fingertips and touring Europe, sacrificing everything.
Yeah, leaving everything behind, just going, like, you know, it was very, you know, it was so exciting and so fun. But yeah, definitely I look back at some decisions and some like stuff where I'm like, ooh, yeah. But I'm really happy about one rule that we've always had. It's like, as much as we do love beer, no beer before or during the show. It's all afterwards. So it's very strict when it comes to that, you know.
How did that rule come into place? A part of me wants to say that it you learned that lesson.
Yeah, like, okay, like the real reason is I started the band when I was 11 years old, so like 10 or 11. So, and you know, started playing bars when I was like 12 years old, and you know, always with parents present and that kind of stuff. And it was just something that, like, it was like you play a show completely sober, and you know, because like I don't feel like I can play as well as I should when I drink, you know. So I think, you know, just out of respect for people that come out, I am like very, very anal when it comes to that, you know, because yeah, it does fuck with my voice. I don't know how it affects you when you drink beer on tour, and you know, like being a singer as well. So
for the death metal, it makes it better, but
yeah.
I will forget my words. I'll get lost on stage. It's happened.
I've
had too many. I've mentioned it on the podcast quite a few times. We played a wedding once. Cryptopsy got hired to play a wedding. The bride hired us for the groom, and we had to hide because it was a surprise. So we went to this small city outside of where the event was being held. And we went to a bar. We had too many beers. And we went back and we played two tracks. And I totally got lost and fucked up. The groom was still happy.
Yeah.
But we could have been in better shape.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay.
But you live, you learn, and that's life. And as long as you strive to be better.
Exactly. There's two shows that we've played drunk, completely drunk. And the first time I was like 17 years old, and we were playing Gaukurin. It was like a global battle of the bands. Yeah, that's what it was. We were the first band on, and we played, and we saw some of the other bands. We were like, we're not going to win this. Fuck it. You know, let's just start drinking.
Have fun.
Yeah, exactly. So we just...
micro bar.
Exactly, yeah. So we just started like going at it, and then they were like, we thought like, we'll be in like third place or something. Then third place was announced, second place was announced, and we were like, oh shit. And it was like, they wear like fucking, you know, kimonos and you know, whatever, ponchos, and they were like, oh no, it's us, oh no, god damn it. And yeah, then we just like, and then we played, and I had like a little speech. I can't remember, and I only remember like stating the fact that I did have red hair. I don't know, man. So I did that. And
hopefully, there's no videos of this somewhere.
I do hope that doesn't exist. It was like, I remember on the drive home, like my parents were there. I remember on the drive home, they were like, yeah, that was, yeah, okay, that was okay. Jesus. Yeah, so it was that time, yeah.
Let's talk about monuments.
Yeah.
It just came out, your new record, via Napalm Records now, April 16th. Talk to me about dropping a huge record on a huge label. First record with Napalm, right?
Yes, exactly, yeah.
During a pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, being from Iceland,
yeah,
you have the restrictions already, that the fact that you're from Iceland,
yeah,
and now you have a pandemic.
Exactly, yeah. It's... what a time to be alive, you know. Yeah, it's quite interesting. Yeah, so yeah, we did three releases with Nuclear Blast, and this is our first one with Napalm. And we're really, really happy about the change, actually. You know, it's we really feel like an amazing support from the label, and just like genuine excitement from them. So it's a good feeling for sure, you know. And it was, we recorded the album like right before when the pandemic hit. So it was like recorded it in, what was it? February and March 2020. So like right before shit hit the fan. And, you know, we worked with our good friend, and, amazing producer, Ian Davenport. He has worked with like, some of the members from Radiohead for like, you know, for their solo albums, and, Band of Skulls, and he did Supergrass, and you know, a lot of stuff, and he did also the previous album Gateways that we did. We're a really, really good fit. You know, he gets like a really nice, you know, atmosphere going, and just like gets the best out of us, I feel. So yeah, good guy to have around for sure. And we recorded the album in, what was it? In the oldest studio in Iceland, which was designed by the guy who made Electric Lady Studios in New York for Jimi Hendrix. So he came to Iceland in 1974. So it was like the first studio that was built to be a studio, and it was quite interesting. You know, amazing studio. A lot of my favorite like 70s Icelandic albums were recorded there and stuff. So it's like really rich and nice history there. I'm really just excited about how well the album has been received so far, and like, you know, like we were on two Billboard like charts, and you know, to listen, that's, you know, that's never happened before, you know, and that's really, really nice. And did well in Germany and Switzerland, and yeah, so very happy.
Very, very interesting. Very cool. Congrats on that. Let's talk about, was there a moment, because it's a pandemic, you can't tour it, were you thinking of keeping the album and waiting?
We did, you know, but I think we were being a little bit optimistic, you know, because we had to make a decision 6 months ahead of time, we were like, I mean, the vaccines are being, you know, made and blah, blah, blah. So we thought April would maybe make sense, you know, but, you know, and it did make sense, you know, in a lot of ways, because, you know, I think a lot of people were listening to us that maybe wouldn't have done it when the world is in full swing, you know. So, you know, because, like, people are at home and need new music, and I think also kind of, like, even though it was written before the pandemic, a lot of the lyrical themes kind of make a lot of sense, like, with the kind of situation right now. So, I don't know. We thought it made sense, and it has, like, really, you know, made an impact with people who like the band. And so, you know, I think they'll just wait with us until we can finally start to play it live, you know, which I look forward to it. But I also kind of am nervous about, because this is an album that's really hard to play and sing at the same time. It's just like, I have to do a lot of homework. Yeah.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hopsheads? I just want to take a little moment about Cryptopsy's upcoming tours. That's right, I'm talking about the Scream of Perseverance tour and our headliner dates that coincide with that tour called As Summer Burns. The Scream of Perseverance tour is kicking off at the end of May and runs all the way until the end of June. We are supporting the mighty Death to All. We are going all over the United States, and we are hitting some of Canada. So excited to be honoring the legendary music of Death alongside amazing musicians that performed on these albums. Even more stoked to be doing some headliner dates in some cities that I've actually never played in. If you are planning to come to any of these shows, you should definitely grab your tickets by going to voxandhops.com/summer, and you will be able to grab all of your tickets there. That's voxandhops.com/summer. Do it, people. Come hang out with me. Enjoy life, metal, and craft beer in your hometown. Come to a show. We're going to have a great time. Now, enough about all of that. Let's get back to the episode.
I'm very lucky that I don't get to play shows right now, obviously. None of us get to play shows right now, but I get to do these, and this is how I've been filling the void of performing. Right before an interview, I get that little nervousness in the pit of my stomach. How is this interview going to go? Am I prepped enough? This is how I've been filling the void. How have you been filling the void of performing?
A lot of just exercise, like running. I've been starting to run, like, kind of long runs, you know, like, you know, 15 kilometers, you know, I'm doing like 50, wow. 15, and then I did like 50 kilometers over 1 week, like last week, and kind of doing it crazy. In like kind of like stages. This week I wanted to do like 25, and, you know, so I'm kind of like, so I have these kind of goals that kind of keep me occupied, and, you know, so it's been an interesting time, you know, for sure. And also, you know, as I mentioned before, I have the dog, so that's kind of like a nice, like, routine, you know. Even like just like the small things about, like, you know, waking up and, you know, have to take him out for a little walk, you know, or whatever, you know, go out in some fresh air and get some coffee. Just like putting a new album on or something, you know. I collect vinyls, as you can maybe see behind me.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of how I've been feeling it. And just kind of meeting up with friends and stuff. So the situation right now in Iceland is like good, you know, and in that aspect, it's been like, well, we just finished like the fourth wave, I guess, of the whole COVID thing. So, it's like, I think it was like two people were diagnosed with COVID like yesterday, but they were both like quarantining. So, you know, it's just kind of fine, you know, when it comes down to
two
it.
People.
Yeah.
One day we will get those numbers.
Yeah,
exactly. Here in Montreal.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Definitely. We're headed that way. Exactly. We're headed that way.
Yeah.
You were a part of a focus group for the beer that you're drinking today.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to hear what your beer would be if you could make your own beer for the Vintage Caravan. What style of beer would that be, and what would you call it?
Oh, Lord. So, oh, that's a really... It's a really good question, because I've thought about it quite a bit. We were actually talking to a brewery here in Iceland, like one of the biggest ones, called Borg Brukhus, makes a lot of great beer. And they're like, yeah, so we spoke to them about making something around the release. But yeah, it didn't really, didn't make sense time-wise. I was kind of late to, but they were very, very interested though, so that was fun. So, but I think I would probably go for a... like a really tasty IPA, like a really like a, just like maybe call it Expand Your Mind or I don't know. That's or maybe make a, because there's an what's it called? There's a song on the new album called Dark Times. So maybe if you like make a really good stout or something.
That's also a great name.
Yeah. So I think that would be, those two are, yeah, good ones. But it would also be nice to have like a, in this caravan beer that, you know, you can have more than two of, and then without like, just like being completely overwhelmed. So yeah.
Absolutely. Nice. Absolutely. Yeah. Exactly. Very, very interesting.
But have you guys made like Cryptopsy like beers and that kind of stuff?
We have. We just dropped one last November, and it's becoming basically a staple at Kanawaki Brewing Company, which is just outside of Montreal. We have an album called Whisper Supremacy. We released Pilsner Supremacy. It's a New World Pilsner, which is a double dry hopped Pilsner with Bohemian yeast in it. You can chug a bunch of them, enjoy them, and not kill yourself because it's 4.6% ABV. I believe I have that right. We had an artist reimagine the Whisper Supremacy. Artwork is killer, and Drew from Kanawaki Brewing Company hit me up last summer, and he just wrote Cryptopsy. So it's Cryptopsy Pilsner Supremacy. That's the name of the beer. Yeah. Well, we have a bunch more in the works because I love beer collabs.
So. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I have to get on that, you know. Do you think is it like possible to like just order them online? And
no, it's like super exclusive, especially from Kanawaki. It's on a native territory, so they can't even sell it in stores across Quebec. You have to go to the brewery. There's a lot of that happening here in Quebec. This exclusivity, the hype, you have to be there at the local source. And I think it'd be cool if you guys did a beer that you included something that's very Icelandic, you know, like herbs or something exactly. That really ties
that's
into you guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that would be awesome. But yeah, it's interesting. Interesting that you can only get the beer in that exclusivity kind of thing. Yeah, interesting.
You got to be there. You got to get it. Like this one. This is like this weird experimental series. You had to go buy it at the brewery. If you didn't buy it at the brewery, you can't get it. And that is what people love here in Quebec right now with the craft beer scene. We're going to wrap this up with one last question. When I went to the Gokarin and we had too much fun,
yeah.
I woke up the day of my gig of the Reykjavik Metal Fest. The reason why I was there in not the best shape. So I know what I had to do to make myself feel better. But what is your hangover cure?
Ooh, good question. I, you know, going out for as horrible as it sounds, going out for a run like really does a lot for you. You know, kind of sweating it out, I guess. So doing that, shower, eating something, you know, pretty fatty, and then just, you know, and yeah, just having some coffee and stuff, and I'm pretty good, you know, if I can go to a hot tub, that's but you know, normally, you know, but on tour, I'm not sure, you know, normally, you know, on like long tours, I don't drink like the first 2 weeks just to get like the vocal cords in shape, you know, kind of, and you know, kind of get used to the abuse that I do to myself, and then I add, you know, and then I
the extra abuse.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. and then after that, you know, I start like bringing in a few like nice beers and, you know, enjoying them and just, you know, taking it kind of easy. You know, on earlier tours, I used to just get fucked up, you know, and you know after shows and oof. So yeah, so there's some videos on YouTube where I look back and I was like, you bitch, Oscar.
We have to learn. The reason why we're on tour is to perform, and that's important. That everyone needs to remember. We're there to have a good time, and fans need to remember that too. Because when we come through a city, some fans have been looking forward to this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
this is their night out. They got a babysitter. They want to let loose, and they want us to let loose with them, which is fun. But they have to understand that we have to do it again the next 14, 15, 20 days in a row.
Exactly. Yeah. So did you, like, I'm just curious, like, with your like, vocal style and stuff, did you have to, like, did you just learn it by yourself? And, like, with touring, did you, like, Did you go like see like a Son of Screaming kind of coach or something like that?
I totally. I would have loved to do a Melissa Cross in person lesson, but I've been using Melissa Cross honestly, religiously, since 2004. Like every time I scream, not so much recently. I've been like tracking stuff in the house for like guest vocal stuff recently, and I just do it. But if I'm on tour, I warm up religiously. It's very important. And when I'm on tour, my voice is just on tour prepped. I'm sure that's what you mean too. That those first 2 weeks, once you get into shape, it knows what to do. If I take a break in between, then I need to really warm them up to remind myself how to scream.
Exactly. But, yeah, I also use
her. You got to be in shape.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. I used her like tips quite a bit on the first 3 years or something of touring. Really helped me a lot, you know. And after a while, one of my tricks is just I do like 10 or 15 push-ups. And you know, yep. Like slow ones. And then like 15 minutes before the show, I do it again. And then I just feel like the whole, because like when it comes to like warming up, you know, it's basically just kind of waking up the body, you know. Sometimes I don't feel like I have to do scales to warm up. If I do that, then I can kind of like, it kind of hoists the voice out of me, like, you know, just gets me ready, you know. So that's kind of,
it's all about breath. It's all about breathing. Yeah. It's about support. It's about muscular support.
Exactly.
That's what singing is. It's much more than just singing. It's about controlling your body in an organized fashion,
and exactly.
You have to remember how to do that, which is why too many of these comes into play, and you just wing it, and that's not the way to do things.
No, exactly. Yeah, I was like really out of shape, like for I don't know. I think the second year of touring where we did, and I can. It's like when I got into shape after that, I was like, oh, this it can't be this easy. You know, singing, it can't be this, like, you know, it's like I would go from a show and I was just like collapse on a couch for like, you know, a half an hour and then like go out or something, you know, and it was just like not the best cocktail, I think.
I tie up my hair, put my glasses on and go to the merch booth. That's my job.
Oh, yeah.
Oscar, thank you so much.
Thank you for taking the time.
Hanging out with me, talking about your life, music and craft beer. Everyone go check out Monuments. It dropped April 16th via Napalm Records. I'm stoked about it, and I know that you guys will be too. Thank you, Oscar.
Awesome.
Cheers.
Thank you so much, man. Cheers, man.
Hey, thank you all so much for listening right today, and you know that I love and appreciate that. I had such a blast with Oscar. We just immediately connected. I know that we're going to have fun and enjoy some beers together the next time we're together, because we had a blast today. I love it when that happens, just those instant connections with artists, and I definitely enjoyed this conversation, and I hope that you all did too. If you enjoyed this Vox and Hops episode, you should sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast mailing list. You could do that on my website, voxandhops.com. That's voxandhops.com. And when you do that, you shall receive one email a week containing all of the details of everything that has happened throughout the past week in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. Please do me a favor, sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast mailing list, because there's just so much going on in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast that I would hate for you to miss a single thing. The Vox and Hops Metal Podcast is brought to you by Sound Talent Media. I hope you have a glorious weekend. I hope that you get out there and you get your hands on some of the Vox and Hops Brutal North America collabs. There are 22 of them that dropped across the United States and Canada, so I hope that you are lucky enough to get your hands on at least one of them. I will be back next week with two episodes, but until then, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hops heads.
Hey there, I am Johnny Christ from Avenged Sevenfold, and I've got a podcast called Drinks with Johnny you're going to want to check out. I sit down with a bunch of different people from all different walks of life, from professional wrestlers to actors, comedians, fighters, musicians, everything in between. I'm just looking to make some friends and have a good time doing it. So if that sounds like something you're into, go check out Drinks with Johnny, streaming everywhere now.